Praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. We have a good one lined up for you tonight. Praise Yahweh. Call a friend and share some of the valuable information. Information, by the way, that you will not hear anywhere else except right on the Shepherd's Call. Why? Because we're trailblazing truth that has been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Yes, we do believe there's a lot of hidden mysteries, some purposefully, others deceptively, and we are here to uncover the deception of the evil ones. Now, who's the evil ones? If we go back to Genesis 3, 14, 15, we go there often. It is the flagship of our faith. We believe that there are two distinct, different, separate, and it almost seems inseparable seed lines in the earth. These seed lines have been warring ever since the word go. We intend tonight to take you into areas, possibly, for those that's just joining us on the series. We have preached these messages entirely through divine revelation. We know that the Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher? Now, we don't claim any exclusive rights into the kingdom throne to get messages. But we do know that the struggles and the trials and the tribulations that we have suffered for the last 42 years as a minister of Yahweh, that we have suffered immensely for the price that it takes to wear the crown of the gospel. Now, the gospel should be uncompromised. There's a lot of folks that will try to buy you, purchase you, if you will, and change the direction of your message. These are the temptations of the evil one. Now, why would he want to do that? Because Satan will place before you a stumbling stone and a rock of offense that is to trip you into, or out of, rather, the revelation of the divine truth. You shall be tried as gold tried in the fire. We're looking tonight, and we're going to simply come up front and tell you we're not looking for the herd. We're not looking for the ones that run with the herd. We're looking for the peculiar. We're looking for the men and women that have hazarded or are willing at this point to hazard their life. We're looking for those that have purposed for the direction of their life to turn to the truth, irregardless of flesh. Those that are born to the flesh cannot, will not please Yahweh. We are looking for those that will put on the whole armor, them that will press toward the mark and the high calling that is in this divine. It is a marvelous calling. Oh yes, there's no glamour. You won't make it on television. You won't make it on the front page news. You will not make it into your church, local church calendar activities. Why? Because you are the lone prophet that you are crying outward in the streets against the evils of this nation. You are preaching to a perverted, a lost, a corrupt, as it was in the days of Noah, generation that will turn their ears from hearing the truth and be turned into fables. The Bible is very plain. In the last days, a perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. The Bible says also that the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, you see, that leaves us with only one-third to deal with. So we've got through with the thundering herd. The thundering herd is on the path of the wide path, as goeth the world, so goeth the herd of religious idiots, those that have been deceived, those that are deceiving, and those are yet to be deceived. They shall compass land and sea, and shall make one proselyte. And when they make him or convert him into their church pews, where they sit dead Sunday after Sunday, Not the S-O-N day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the S-U-N day, as they vainly worship him, keeping for tradition the commandments of men and the likeness thereof. All these pagan things that have been accepted now as the norm, we preach an exception. We don't run with a herd. And we're looking for a few good men and women that won't run with a herd. We're looking for some of the fish of Yahweh. I'll make you fishermen of men, he said. We're looking for those to swim against the tide, to swim up the stream, to swim against mother, to swim against daddy, to swim against those who oppose you. The Bible said the time will come, they'll kill you, thinking that they're doing Yahweh a service. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, when you get into the divine revelations, to the deep things, then you walk alone. Or at least you don't have many to walk with you. But let me assure you, those that do walk with you, the Bible said, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Now, I agree to walk with you if you walk in the truth. You agree with me if I walk in the truth, and we both shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Now, it's good that two walk together. A two-folded cord is not easily broken. And for that reason, the Father sent his disciples out two by two. They fanned out into all the world, but let me assure you of this one thing. There is a master in the earth today to preach the revelation. These are the anointed ones, the Melchizedek, the chief ones, the ones that have been anointed with the Holy Spirit, not fearing man or gods, that bow to nothing but the truth of Yahweh, and that will acknowledge only the divine covenant that Yahweh has given his sons. Now, we're going to talk tonight. We're going to begin an exciting series. And we're going to peel bark. We're going to kick butt. We're going to take names. Are you worthy? Are you willing to suffer for his name's sake? Yes, you must be abused by the prophets. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, why should I take abuse from you when I can go to the bell box and get soothing messages, tickling of the ear, when you want to berate me, when you want to gouge me in the ribs with the gospel, the sword, and you want to bring blood, and you demand action. You demand that I repent, and we do, and be baptized in that name, Yahweh. What's so different about the name of Yahweh as compared to Jehovah? Jehovah is a false rendering of the divine tetragrammaton. The word tetragrammaton is Greek for four letters of the Yod-He Vav-He. It is the divine name that was spoken 5,823 times alone in the old parchment and was purposely translated out of the scriptures so that you would believe a false name. You Jehovah Witnesses ought to be ashamed. You know better. You pastors, you blind leaders of the blind, you know better. Hell is going to be your final destination. Full well you fulfill the measurement of deceit and corruption because you love filthy lucre, money. You love prestige. You love the chief seats in the synagogues of the Jehovah watchtowers. The only thing that you're watching for is some soul to deceive. Well, you say, well, sick 'em, buddy. Well, you Baptists, stay tuned. I'll have a message for you. You Mormons, you stay tuned. I've got one for you. You're all in the same sack. Methodist, Catholic, Quakers, Shakers, and all of you shake you out of the sack, and y'all come out Trinity. Y'all come out Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Y'all come out in error. Y'all come out worshiping the whore doctrine. And who did she advocate? Read in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. The great whore that corrupted the earth and the harlots brought out the name to deceive the whole earth. What name do they promote? I beg you. You say, oh, there you go, knock in the name of Jesus again, Pastor Buddy. I'll just have to turn you off. Well, turn off. We'll turn you into hell with all nations that forget Yahweh, because only Yah, not Jesus. And you see, I'm not poking fun at this name that you hold sacred. You're doing the best you can. But listen, move up. My dad always told me that when they cut out one limb from under you, reach for another one above you. And be careful not to miss the limb, because you might pass somebody on your way down. Well, I know for sure that the name of Yahweh is above every name. Hallelujah is purposely translated out of the Bible, and you must have the rejected name. Ladies and gentlemen, this formula is simple. You must have the rejected name rather than the accepted norm. Now, we're going to show you deceit. I don't even know why I got into that, but I want to go into the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. We're going to begin an exciting series for the whole week, unless the Father decides to go another direction, as our mind is placed, as my mind has been stirred up this week. Me and a brother has worked feverishly over the weekend to write a document, to document the evidence, and we have it now in documentation, still in process. We're adding to it daily, but we have over 30 pages of documented evidence that the Jews are not, quote-unquote, God's chosen people. We're going to prove tonight how the scepter departed from Judah. We're going to display and prove to you that Judah never had one promise other than being one of the 12 in the tribe of Israel. All of the promises went to someone else. Now, that someone else, this obscure little tribe, insignificant as it is, Christ will come out of this insignificant tribe that is hidden in the earth somewhere, protected by Yahweh. Remember, Satan put a flood out after the woman that brought forth the man-child. Who was the man-child? Was the scepter to depart when he appeared upon the earth? These questions are very, very relevant to the issue here. And we intend to prove this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, if Yahweh willing, we'll take you to depths. We will take you to a comprehensional level. Now, we don't want you in the fold here if you're weak, if you're fearful, if you're unbelieving, if you don't have the grit, if you don't have the backbone to stand up against the world's tradition, if you don't have the power to swim in the opposite stream. Yes, you must be thoroughly conditioned, and you must be on meat for milk and those that are on it. You know, that's about all of the diet. You know, I listen to the majority of the preachers that are preaching on the radio. Oh, how they're nail chewers. A bunch of, you know, after you get through, listen, no wonder most of the Christians turn to drugs, nerve pills, Valium. I would too, if I believed the crap that they produced. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're not preaching any problems for you. We're preaching a deliverance solution. What is deliverance? To deliver you from the deceit and the cunning and the craftiness of men that lay in wait to deceive the very elect of Yahweh. Yes, they are masters of deceit. Yes, Satan has woven a masterful, seemright plan down to the traditional trails of Christianity, and many there be that go thereon to be deceived and going about to deceive. Now, we're going to give you some information that will free you. And if you don't want to be free, please, for the sake of not hearing this, you see, ladies and gentlemen, once you've heard this, it would be better for you not to hear the way than to hear it and not obey it. You see, we're not looking for you Sunday school teachers. that are putting out the milk every Sunday in the bell box with your phallic steeple on the top, where you look through the stained glass window and you look like a prophet, you talk like a prophet, but you don't walk like a prophet. Because prophets are outside this system crying against the walls and the covenants of deceit that you've made with hell. And though you dig into hell, Yahweh said, I will find you. The Bible said the word, and this is the powerful word. We're not talking about the written word. We're talking about the living word that will expound and enlighten and enliven the written word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, but how can you hear without a preacher? You must have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go into the depths of the mysteries of the word. After 42 years, I have found out that I don't know nothing. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, well, dear one, what are you talking about? I might as well turn the dial. You don't know anything. I know nothing. That them that have wives be as though they had none. Are you married? Well, when it comes to the gospel, you must unmarry yourself from everything that keeps you separated from Yahweh and return to your first love, and you got to love Yahweh more than you love your wife. You say, oh, my dear, I never heard such a thing. Well, let me back it up and come in the other door and give you some wake-up calls that you probably need. Unless you love Yahweh, it's impossible for you to love your wife. Let me repeat that. Unless you love Yahweh, you cannot love your wife. So then you must love Yahweh to love your wife. If you love Yahweh, you will obey Yahweh, and you will render benevolence or due to your wife, whom you must love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but she must follow you to the gospel, and in the gospel she must obey, and she must stand by your side and watch over you, protect you, encourage you. There's nothing on earth that can discourage you in a relationship, a family relationship. If the husband is ready to go and the wife won't go, you become a dead load. Let those that have wives be as though they had none. Now, you sisters with these dead beat husbands, these so-called, these lazy lugs that won't work, they won't stand up and be men, they won't take the leadership of the household, they won't provide. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, America has gone to pot. We've got more pot bellies dragging themselves to the couch and throwing themselves down in front of their idol god, the TV. You know what the TV means? A television. Tell a vision. And they tell you a vision on TV. They entertain your fleshly ear. They tickle it with the lust of the world. And most of it, did you notice at that time of the commercials? It's all to sell you, implant you into your mind. You've got to have a Big Mac. And so then you roll off the couch and you woggle down to the McDonald's. And you get a sack of Big Macs, and you come back and you sack out on the couch, and you eat and you chomp until you're full of the natural, and spiritually you are starved to death. You have an ear to hear, but you won't hear. And we're talking tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going into a series, and we're warning you up front, if you ain't a meat eater, don't listen to Pastor Buddy on the Shepherd Call. You just turn the dial and go where they're putting out milk. But remember, when you leave and shut the door behind you, or don't let the door hit you in the rear end, as the old saying goes, because this gospel will drive you or draw you. We're not trying to appease you. We're trying to beat the living hell out of you with a gospel to clean you up and get you positioned to stand up and be a man or a woman and hear the word and repent. And drag your lazy carcass down to Tennessee, if you have to find a man that'll put you into the river and bury you in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, to clean you up that you could walk right, talk right, and be tight, praise Yahweh, in the revelation of truth, and that you no longer need milk. He that is on milk is unskillful in the word of Yahweh. So you see, there's where we separate the men from the boys, as the old saying goes. When, you know, I thought I was a man. I was 16 years old. I had killed deer and squirrels. I could shoot a squirrel's eyes out with a .22 at 300 feet distance. I was dead-eyed Dick on the rifle, so I got good enough to join the Army. Never will forget waking up on the 1956 on the 15th of May when the big first sergeant, and I still remember his name, by the way, Sergeant Duncan, been over 40-some years ago, ladies and gentlemen. I still remember that monster's name. He put his boot where the sun don't shine in my rear end, and I got in gear and stayed in gear because I was scared to death of that first sergeant. But the things he taught me later, I hated his guts. I'd love to spit directly into his face. I want to get you with a gospel that you absolutely hate, brother buddy. But in the end, if you will obey, I knew when the action came that the things that the old first sergeant taught me stayed with me, even his name, even my serial number that he had me to repeat as I'd done 100 push-ups or more every day. Yes, I was always goofing up, but I'm telling you, when you seen that man come, you straightened up and you walked right. Well, that's the same way with the gospel. Yahweh's looking for soldiers. A soldier must have training, and training is the evidence of the word. And my heavens, ladies and gentlemen, I'm coming back to Genesis 49:10. You come back with me after the break if you are the meat eaters. Now, if you milk drinkers, we'll see you later. Well, welcome back, meat eaters. Praise Yahweh. I assume I don't have no milk drinkers in the audience tonight. Praise Yahweh. And now we'll get down to the meat of the gospel. We're going to prove tonight and the whole week series that the scepter and the birthright are synonymous. They belong to one tribe in Israel. We're going to show you who that tribe is. We're going to prove. We're going to settle the issue. We're going to teach on this. We're going to give you scripture verses for you to think about. Now, we have this on our computer, and we can download it. If you have an email address, then you just send your address and request this in written text. My good buddy Russ and I worked all weekend on this project. We have finished it in a 30-page text document thereabout with some very concluding evidence to the fact. If you'd like to have it, just email Pastor Buddy, and that is ejohnson@wwgelp.net. Now, let me repeat that. That is E. Johnson, E as in eagle, small, case, lowercase they call it, lowercase letters, ejohnson@wwgelp.net. Send me your email and we will forward this document to you for your viewing pleasure. Now, it will change, we believe, Russ and I and others will agree that have seen it, have agreed with us, that this is a very controversial document. And for the first time, it is in written form that we have had the pleasure, through Russ's expertise in writing and typing up this document and spending countless hours at the word processor, we have assembled this document. Sister Sherry, our webmaster, has posted it to our website, and you can have our website if you will just email Pastor Buddy, that's ejohnson@wwgelp.net. We will give you the website. It is linked into, our document is linked into our website. You can have all of our archived tape messages from the website, and you can also have the document that we are offering you tonight. This is all free of charge. And it's brought to you by the courtesy of our sponsors, Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack. These are our sponsors that make this show possible for you to have, we believe, this historical, groundbreaking evidence. First time, this is virgin truth. the unclean birds and the fowls, the vultures, have not eat on this carcass. We don't allow it. We are defenders of the sacrificial offerings that we offer up in the truth realm, as did Abraham in the 12th chapter and in the confirmation of the covenant chapter of the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, where he shooed away the birds to keep the fowls of the air from eating the sacrifice that he offered up to Yahweh. And so we guard, we are defenders of the faith. We are Melchizedek priests. We have the sword and the oath of the covenant that we will preach the truth in season and out. We will reprove. You see, most people that we reprove, they say, oh, he's arrogant. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Would you rather face me, an arrogant SOB, if you would like to call me so, as somebody that you don't like, to save your soul, or would you rather me tickle your ears with a lie and we both go to hell and suffer as a result of it? Choose this day who you will serve. What are you going to face, Yahweh? The Bible says they called him a very hard and a stubborn man, demanding that the money changers, the money put to the money changers, or an exchange. And what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? It's the truth that we're looking for here, and we're going to get into it in verse 10 of Genesis 49. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him, this is the lawgiver, this is the one that gave us the plan in the new parchment. We're talking about Yahweh coming down into a flesh body, walking for 33 and a half years approximately among those that rejected and those that eventually killed him. While he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now, the scepter that was taken by Judah, never was it given to him. I repeat, never was this scepter offered through a spiritual contract by Yahweh. Now, how did he get it? The Bible uses one word to describe how Judah had the scepter. He prevailed over his brethren after he and the other brother, who were jealous of the birthright son, they exiled him into or out of the house of Israel. Well, that's what I feel like tonight. Most of the preachers in Israel were talking about racial covenant to see line identity. They have exiled me out of the equation. But here I am, ticking away like a Timex. I take the licking, I keep on ticking, and I've got the word to back up the promise. And the promise is, if you won't believe the gospel, then hell must be your home. And the Bible says, 2-4 more, we're talking about the Jacob Israelites, the two-thirds, I'm trying to corral and bring in to their senses, coming out of the bell boxes where you have stuck there in your little comfort zone, as we try to shake you out of the little rat's nest of ignorance and fear and superstition that you have woven yourself along with the tradition of the world, the scepter. Now, let's look at that word. It is 7626. 7626, and it is a stick. It is a stick or an authoritative position. It is a staff, if you will, and it goes with the birthright. The crown of the birthright and the scepter are synonymous, and they belong on one head and one head only. And ladies and gentlemen, it was cultivated, it was finalized, it was climaxed when the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua in a flesh body, come and walked among men. He was a Galilean, born in Galilee, raised in Galilee, and ladies and gentlemen, the last days upon the earth was in Galilee before he was crucified on the second Passover. Write for my tape about that mystery. You'll be surprised. He didn't die in the first one. Oh my, you say, Pastor Buddy, you are beside yourself. Much learning has made thee mad. as they accused the Apostle Paul, but I assure you, I rest assured that I've done my homework. I know what you can read and you can't read. He was alive in the first one and died in the second one. And ladies and gentlemen, let me go to Numbers chapter 9 to expound in the fifth verse that the question came up for the second Passover. Now, the stipulation was by the command of Yahweh back to Moses for those that inquired, as they had touched a dead body and could not keep the Passover, and also the second stipulation was for those in a far journey. My, how the spiritual symbolism begins to sink in with the joy unspeakable and full of glory when you know that Yahweh, in His infinite wisdom, died for those that had touched the dead body, the Levitical law, and those in a far journey, the 10 tribes scattered abroad. Oh yes, ladies and gentlemen, 5 wise and 5 foolish, and here we go as we go bounding out through the main and into the Caucasus Mountains as we merge and as we came together to group later into the British Isles and into Western Europe, and we became known as the Caucasians, which today you are dismissed from trying to be racially pure. You are antisocial if you are proud of your race. Other races can be proud. It is the white race that is exonerated in this sense that we are together, but when we go into the world, we are crucified for saying that we are the white Caucasian race of Jacob Israel, and we have the proof and the family tradition to back it up. Yes, don't be ashamed of your heritage. Stand up and be proud and be counted on. Praise Yahweh. There is a reward laid up for them that love and serve Him. And as Revelations 1:14 says, His head and His hair was white like wool. Be white, be proud, and enjoy it. Praise Yahweh. You are one of Yahweh's children. That'll settle the issue and the argument anywhere on the continental that you engage those that would oppose you, as they are Judeo-correct, politically correct, or they are multicultured to accept all of these, and we all wad up like a bunch of snakes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, who's behind all of this teaching? Who encourages all of this? Who led the marches in Selma, Alabama? It wasn't the blacks. It wasn't the blacks that were inflamed. The good black people you can't blame them for being here. They were brought against their will. They were herded up into groups and put on slave ships, right for my information on who owned them, by the way. You will be surprised. You'll be surprised for the information of who led all of these civil rights marches down into Selma, Alabama. Who led the pack? You need to know the rest of the story of what's going on in the world and who caused all the major problems and who warned us of them to come. Yes, there's a lot behind this scepter here and the deceit of those that believe that the Jew is God's chosen people. That is a misnomer. It is incorrect, never was correct, and never will be. Praise Yahweh. The Jews are not God's chosen people. Now, there are descendants from the tribe of Judah, or the descendants of Judah in the tribe of Israel. You see, Judah is one of the tribes. If we say that the Jews, we believe that most of us are accepting that the Jews and Judah is synonymous and that they go together. That is incorrect. Most of those in Israeli land are not Jews. They have no direct bloodline relationship to Jacob. They will readily admit their bloodline is Khazaric or other than the descendants of Jacob. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it don't look like we're going to get off the first verse here to get into the depth. But before Friday comes, Yahweh willing, I'll walk you through. Now, if you want the whole thing, you can sit down in one read and get the rest of the story. Then you need to email PastorBuddy@ejohnsonwwgap.net, and I'll send out the information. Now, we'll send this out free to you. You can download it on your computer, print it out, make copies, pass them out, freely give, freely receive, praise Yahweh, and freely share the information that we've got. Now, this will change your thinking about who's who in the birthright and the birthline and those that are qualified to accept it and to receive it and to preach it. Now, why do we preach with such liberty? We don't have any master except Yahweh. Now, the Word, he said, if I make you free, the Word is the freeman. You see, those that can't preach this are enslaved to their own imagination or their superstition or their fear or their ignorance, for that matter. For a lot of our ministers in Christian identity have foolishly locked into the British Israelite doctrine and have gone astray with Armstrong and the rest of those that believe that. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it is not, I repeat, those that suppose that the British Israelite identity teaching is correct. It is mostly incorrect. They had the right ideal, but they had the wrong place. We will prove that before we are through with the series this week, that we know who we are. Now we're waking up to the revelation by great men that have suffered, great men that have purposed, great men that have hazarded their life. And when we say great men, we're great men in the spirit, but into the world we're nothing. Most of the two-seat line Christian identity preachers are stomped on. They are ridiculed. We heard a couple of yokels. Yeah, we call them the Eddie Arnolds of the Truth Radio Network. We hear some of them yodeling on there like a bunch of tackling hens. Yeah, you see, we invite them on to a debate to come a shepherd's call, and yet they get on their time, and then they cackle like a bunch of hens and laugh at a two-seat line Christian identity. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you understand one thing. The last laugh will be on them. Why? Because Yahweh will turn them into hell with all nations that forget Yahweh. Oh, yeah, most of them are Jesus believers. Who's Jesus? Again, we repeat, the word Jesus is only 500 years old, not in the original, even in the original King James. Now, if you look up the word Jesus in the Strong's, and oh, we know, we've heard all this. Oh, that's his Hebrew name, glory to God. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned. You buy that? Well, we've got some oceanfront property in the desert of Phoenix, Arizona. We'd sell you a couple of acres for your retirement on the seashore there, if you would like to buy some. If you buy into that Jesus was his Hebrew name, then you're going to have to go by and revise the languages and rearrange it into your thought process, because it's out of the 26th chapter of your own stupid imagination to believe that. Why? Because you have been handed the football of deceit. You've run down to the goal line, and you've been running the wrong way. The Bible says, in that day, many shall say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And he shall say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Here we are in 46:10 or 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh. Now look up that word. It is Strong's number, 7886. Scepter is 7625. Do your word search there. We will thoroughly look at the word systems here. We're going to take you into a bloodline that is not mentioned in scriptures in genealogy, simply because somebody, we are calling them the scribes, the evil ones, the Nakash, the half Israelite and half Canaanites. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're not embarrassed to say that the snake got into the house of Israel, into the bloodline. Why? Because the serpent has desired to place his blood in the veins of Jacob Israel from the word go. And he's done a masterful job. He is a serpent. A serpent lays where you don't expect him. We're going to unveil. We're going to reveal. We're going to bring forth the message.
Goodbye.
That will give you the information of Yahweh. Well, we've got a goodbye tone here, and this is Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, and we will see you tomorrow night at 8, as we don't have the time to give you even our call numbers here. Praise Yahweh.
Thank you.
thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.